We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
2018, we love you already. Hi, everybody. Welcome to CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buzz, Mark Johnson. This is the Buffs Insider. We've been gone for a couple of weeks. It's the holidays. Every once in a while, we get some time off.
I tell you what, but if we can come back to something like we've seen this week, I'll come back all the time.
Good stuff. Early in the week, Kurt Roper named the quarterback's coach for the Buffaloes. But what happened last night at the Coors Event Center, it's been a tough month of December for the Buffaloes. They start out 6-0 in November, go 2-6 the month of December. You're wondering what's going on with Tad Boyle's basketball team. They open up Pac-12 home schedule last night with an overtime win, 90-81 over number 4 Arizona State. Very impressive.
Just a very good performance by Colorado all the way through. They trailed in the first half. They trailed by 8, midway through the second half. And they never quit. And this is a young team that just, as Tad Boyle said, grew up a whole lot in one night. And they got a lot of very nice performances from a lot of guys out there tonight.
Don't you think, though, it's one of those games where you think, okay, where's this been for the last 4 weeks?
Well, yeah, and you certainly want to ask that. And what's weird is you ask that about the seniors. And Tad even brought that up in his post game. He's been very hard on his seniors and junior Naaman Wright, seniors George King, seniors Dom Collier. They haven't been consistent over the last month. Tonight, those three were just instrumental, or Thursday night, I'm saying, those three were instrumental in the win. They all played well, and they had some great games from McKinley Wright, Tyler Bay. Just a terrific performance. If they can put that consistent effort together, this is a team that could have some fun in the Pac-12.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you. So can this be a little bit of a precursor to what we can expect the rest of the season? Did they figure something out, I guess, is the question at the Coors Event Center again in that win over Arizona State?
You know what I think they figured out to a degree was that's the way they were playing when the season started. They were playing together. They didn't care about who was getting minutes, who was getting the shots, who was doing these all the different things. They cared about winning. They played good defense. I know it just kills Tad Boyle to go to a zone defense, but I tell you what, when he went to that zone, Arizona State turned into a completely different team.
By the way, in the post game, and we're going to hear that coming up here in a couple of minutes, I told him, because he was joking about selling his soul to the devil playing a 2-3 zone. I said, Jim Boeheim just texted me. He said it's about time. So that was a good thing. Now, with that being said, after the game on the radio broadcast, I said my MVP award for that game goes to the coaching staff. Mike Rundon just got on this one. I thought their game plan and how they controlled tempo getting out, pressuring the guards for ASU, and then dropping back into that 2-3 zone, I thought was fantastic.
It was terrific. I mean, it completely – Arizona State obviously hadn't seen it. Colorado hasn't played it all year. George King noted that, you know, they put that in this week in practice. They worked on it a lot, and, you know, I was at practice and saw them working on it. And I don't think ASU knew how to react to it, because once Colorado switched to that, their three-point shooting went down. They weren't getting inside. Dallas Walton is a wonderful rim protector from that zone. Man-to-man, he's still not as effective because he has to go outside. But if he can sit in that zone and play there, he had some, you know, he changed some shots going inside tonight.
You know, I know this is a little bit of a donut team. When Evan Batty was ruled, the NCAA ruled against him that he can't play. When Tory Miller-Stewart went down with a broken foot, it left a hole in the middle of this. And so a little bit of Dallas Walton and Tyler Bay have kind of been thrown to the wolves. But when they go out and give you 10 points and 14, 15 rebounds and about four block shots, as they did, combined in that victory over Arizona State, that's a pretty nice productivity from the young fellas.
It is, and they're getting better every night. Dallas Walton is becoming more and more aggressive. If you look at the change between Dallas, between now and at the beginning of the season, look at the change in Tyler Bay. I think he had 8 points and 8 rebounds. They're changing their game, and they're getting better. They're more aggressive every night. They're more confident, and you can just see them growing up out there. Dallas is getting a little chip on his shoulder out there.
You know, when you talk about guys getting better, to me, and I know we've used all the superlatives about McKinley Wright and how good he is, I watched him during that game, and I can almost see him get better as the game unfolds. That was an interesting matchup. He had three guys in the court, four guys, if you're going to throw Remy Martin in there, that are as quick as he is, and the first time he's faced that at the college level. And he had to evolve and adapt. He had 2 points at halftime, ends up with 19. Is it possible he's getting better than what we even saw the first month of the season?
Oh, I think his basketball IQ is terrific. And I think when he sees things once, he remembers it. And he knows how to adapt. And you use that word, you know, that's what he does. He adapts so quickly to it. And what was interesting is after the game, Bobby Hurley pointed out one thing. He said, the entire game, he said, there was one play that made the difference. He said, their little point guard got an offensive rebound and scored on us. And that's what started that overtime. He went in. I mean, he's the shortest guy on the floor. He gets the offensive rebound. He scores. George King comes down and hits a three on the next possession, and they're off and running. And that's the way he changes the game.
You've seen the numbers like I have. The second game for the road team going through the Rocky Mountains, through Utah and Colorado. Dare we dream about a sweep over the Arizona schools?
You know, if they play like they did tonight, they have a chance. When they play like they did tonight, they are good inside. They're good outside. They shot fairly well. They played great defense. They rebounded. And if they play like that for 40 minutes, which they did tonight, and I say 40, and I'm including the overtime because the first 5 minutes of this game, they did not play like that. They were down 13-1. It was another slow start. But if they play like that for 40 minutes, yeah, they can play with just about anybody in the conference. They did.
Yeah, without question, the Buffaloes have got Arizona coming in here on Saturday. It's a 12 noon game. Our coverage gets underway on the Colorado Basketball Network at 11:30 with Buffs Warm. Of course, it's streaming live at CUBuffs.com as well. Let's shift for a moment here. On Wednesday, we got to meet Kurt Roper, the new quarterbacks coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. History with Mike McIntyre. Worked as young coaches together for 6 years over the course of two different locations. Interesting that the quarterback coach is not the offensive coordinator. That, of course, Darren Cheverini and Clayton Adams. But he's got a proven track record, pretty impressive resume. Well, what did you think of the hire?
You know, I like the hire. I think if you look at the quarterbacks he's worked with, they've all played well in college. I mean, a guy named Eli Manning turned out to be a pretty good quarterback in the NFL also. But, you know, he was the number one draft choice when Kurt coached him at Ole Miss. And so, you know, like you said, a good track record. I really liked what he talked about the mental aspect of playing quarterback, and he talked about how you are the focal point and you have to have a lot of mental toughness to play that position, and he's really going to stress that with these guys. I think he'll be great for Steven Montez. I think he'll help him understand that that's the next part that Steven has to take in his game. That's the next step that he has to take, is that mental approach. Steven has all the physical tools, we've seen him. That mental approach, if he can make that jump, I think that'll be a big help to him.
You and I are both fans of Darren Cheverini. He takes over the play-calling duties. Clayton Adams is going to be involved as the co-coordinator as well. I wonder if having a guy with the gravitas, the experience that Kurt Roper does, having a different set of eyes and a guy that's been in a number of locales, done it differently in different places, is also maybe good input for that offensive staff as well.
Oh, I think that'll be, I think it'll be a lot of help. I think he's a guy that Darren Cheverini can bounce guys off, you know, bounce ideas off of. Clayton Adams can ask him, well, what do you think about this? And I asked Kurt about that. Is that going to be difficult for you? He said, no. He said, I have no problem with coaching quarterbacks. He said, I'm fine with doing that job. Whatever they need from me, I'll help. But he said, my number one goal is to get the quarterback ready for their game plan. And I really liked hearing that from him when he said that. That's my number one goal, is to make sure that my quarterbacks are ready to play whatever game plan they put out on the field.
I like the way 2018 starting so far for the Buffaloes.
I'm pretty happy with it. You know, 17 was kind of, you know. So, 18 so far is looking good.
All right, thanks to Neil Welk, CUBuffs.com, for joining us. Certainly an impressive win for the Buffaloes, knocking off a top-five team for the first time since 2003, when Colorado topped number 3 Texas back in the Big 12 days. That's pre-Tad Boyle, of course. And the Buffs head man was smiling after this win over number 4.
Yeah, our players are smiling. I can promise you that.
They've
been through a lot, you know, these last probably 3-4 weeks. I mean, we've just kind of come up on the short end at times, but man, they really competed tonight. That's really what we talked about, is we got to come out and just compete with these guys, no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw. And our guys did that. They, you know, they really, really competed on the boards late in the game.
You guys were +9 in the second half.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, yeah. You could tell. I mean, we were committed to it, and our guys are. I mean, McKinley had some big time offensive rebounds, and then, you know, Tyler, George, Naaman had one. Dallas battled. I mean, we were battling. Mark, I got to say this. You know, I've been on our seniors and our junior upperclassmen. You know, Naaman being our only junior, and then Dom and George, and really challenging them to step their games up, and they did tonight. All three of those kids played great when we needed them to play great, and that's, you know, that's what upperclassmen do, and I'm really proud of them because I've been on them. I have been on them.
I said to Scott as we wrapped up after the game was over, I said, you know who gets my MVP tonight? Whichever one of your staff came up with a game plan. What you guys did to control tempo, I thought was outstanding.
That was Mike Rohn, is his scout. He gets a lot of credit. Mike Rohn is a hell of a basketball coach. People have no idea. And I know Coach Billups has got his opportunity at DU, and Coach Prelo's now at San Jose State. That guy deserves to be a head coach. So if there's any athletic directors listening or anybody knows him, I mean, he knows his stuff. But, yeah, we were playing. I went to the dark side and played zone tonight.
I saw that, yeah. Sold your soul to the devil tonight, didn't you?
I sold my soul to the devil. But we did that on makes because we wanted to slow them up. They're so explosive. You saw in the second half, they just start driving us, and we were fouling. And, you know, they got to the bonus pretty quick, 6 fouls like that. So we went our 2 zone, and then on misses, we went back man. And so that was kind of to try to keep them off balance. And I think it worked because it slowed them down. And they – It's amazing when you play against zone. We've played against zone. At Oregon State we did. At Oregon we did. And you saw how our effectiveness offensively kind of took it. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but it's just sometimes, you know, it throws people for – your offensive package against a zone really goes down. You know, we all have man plays out the – out our ears. But zone plays, there's usually only half a dozen or so.
Coach Boeheim just texted me and said, tell Tad it's about time.
He would have been proud. We weren't great in the zone. We were good enough.
Right.
We were good enough.
Right. We've talked a little bit about, you know, with Evan not playing and because of the ruling and Dantori being out. Boy, you look at what Dallas and Tyler, those guys have been throwing to the wolves in there.
They're throwing to the wolves.
And Tad, those two guys combined tonight for 10 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 block shots.
Yeah. And that's what we, you know, and we're kind of doing that position by committee a little bit, Lucas, Tyler, and Dallas. Now, on Saturday, we're going to need those guys to play together a little bit because Arizona's a much bigger team interior than Arizona State is. Arizona plays one big, and then they've got kind of 4 perimeter guys. And, you know, that Mikey Mitchell kid, number 3, holy cow, is he a good player.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that rebound and finish he had at the end was a winning play. But you know what? In overtime, we made some. McKinley Wright made a winning play with his offensive rebound put back. And then, you know, defensive rebounds, I mentioned down here, winning plays. We had guys make winning plays in overtime.
This is such a great win from top to bottom. But I'm going to ask you, starting 0 for 7 from the field and 3 of 16.
Yeah, I don't, you know, golly.
A slow start. I mean, it's so tough against a good team to come back.
Yeah, and the guys that are starting the game, they have a responsibility. That's why I subbed all 5 of them out. You know, you hate to pick on one guy. It wasn't one guy's fault to me. But all 5 of those guys, when they step out, you know. Now, I want our fans to understand, like, it, our starting lineup to me means nothing. It means nothing.
Right.
I mean, we've got 10 guys in our rotation. That's what we're going to play. You know, Deshaun didn't get as many minutes tonight. Laz didn't get as many minutes, but, you know, we kind of went with 8 guys there in the second half. But who starts really doesn't matter. It's who finishes. It's who plays well. We talked, you know, all week about don't count your time. Make your time count. And if you're in there for 3 minutes, make your those 3 minutes the best 3 minutes you've ever played and as hard as you've ever played. And if our guys can buy into that concept, we can have more nights like this.
You and I talked a lot in the pregame about turnovers. I ended up with a 14, yep, but that's in 45 14. Minutes. So a little bit longer
game.
Yeah,
and we had four at halftime.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
We had four. They had five. And, you know, they took care of the ball better too. But, yeah, we had some silly ones. Ken McKinley's got to get a little bit tighter. That crossover but you know he's got the ball in his hands a lot.
Yeah.
I love our guys. Our young guys are growing up in this league. You know, Arizona State's a veteran team. You know, I got 3 senior guards and the Mitchell kid's a transfer from Ohio State. He's played a lot of college basketball. That freshman big kid's pretty good. He's a load down there, but. Take it and move on. You can't enjoy this too long. We got a quick turnaround, you know, noon on Saturday here. The Wildcats come in, and we got to be ready to go. They beat Arizona State, obviously, last week. So this league, there's no nights out. But you know what? How about our crowd tonight?
Were they great?
Oh, my God. They were fantastic.
Yep. Yep.
And so I just want to shout out to them, and I appreciate their support.
Well, for the this would be the first top 5 win for you of your career. The last time Buff did it was 03 over was number it? 3 Texas, so congratulations.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Yeah, but, you know, we did show our guys a video of we've had 15 top 25
That's
wins
right.
since we've been.
Yep.
We showed our guys a little clip. Alec Burks was in the house tonight. I don't know if we introduced
saw him.
Yeah. But if we didn't, we should have. He came up from Denver, you know, flew in. They got the Nuggets tomorrow night, so it was great to see him. I just got to say hi at halftime. But, you know, I told our players, when they put that uniform on, they're representing so much. Not only this state and this university and everybody that supports them, but they also represent every former player that came here. And tonight they represented well.
Well, this is a fun one tonight, Coach. Congratulations.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Now the Buffs prepare for a big game Saturday when number 14 Arizona comes to Boulder. Our coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time with the Buffs warm-up pregame show presented by Safeway, followed by the tip-off at noon on the Colorado Basketball Network and streaming live at cubuffs.com. From basketball to football, where earlier this week, head coach Mike McIntyre announced the hiring of 45-year-old Kurt Roper as the Buffs' new quarterback coach. And we had a chance to welcome the veteran coach to the Buffs family.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Looking forward to getting started.
Tell us about the track and how you eventually worked your way to become a Colorado Buffalo. I know you and Coach McIntyre have got history together.
We did. We started as young coaches really together at Ole Miss in 1999 and learned under Coach Cutcliffe and learned a lot of ways to do things the right way, I should say. And then we worked together again at Duke when he was the defense coordinator and I was the offensive coordinator. That started in 2008.
And this is, you know, coaching is such a small fraternity, and you always kind of keep contacts with guys for just these type of situations, don't you?
Sure. I mean, more than anything, when you work so close with people, you become friends, mm-hmm. and your families become friends. Our wives have known each other for a long time. Shoot, I knew Mike's kids when they were just little bitty, and Johnston was brand new born. So we've stayed in close contact, not just because of football, but because of friendships.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we're getting old now that Jay's actually playing for the Buffaloes, right?
He's playing, and Johnston's in college. That one's even harder for me to understand.
I bet. Well, tell us about your background. I mean, there's been a long time, in fact, in the Southeastern Conference. You've spent, for most recently, you came from South Carolina, but kind of give Buff fans your resume a little bit.
Sure. I've been fortunate. I've been around really good people my whole career. David Cutcliffe kind of took me under his wing early in 1999 and taught me how to teach quarterbacks and put an offense together and coach offensive football and jumped around the SEC quite a while and then went with Coach Cutcliffe to Duke in 2008. And mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time together. And since then, I've been several other places. But I've been fortunate to be around really good football coaches my whole career.
What is the key, do you think, in coaching quarterbacks? And you obviously coached a very good one, Eli Manning. That's on your resume. And, of course, he's had phenomenal success. What's one of the keys when you're trying to mentor a young quarterback?
Well, I think you have to give him parameters on how to make a decision and help him understand why he's making that decision and then back him up when he makes those decisions. And so you have to put it into a box for him and help him understand how to play the game. It's not plays. It's how to make decisions within a play, within a situation in a game, whether it's third down, whether it's red zone, whatever the situation is, and teach them how to make those decisions. And then you got to go get a good one. You got to get one that can throw the football and is tough physically and mentally and competes and knows how to make plays.
Now, in this circumstance, of course, you come in. There's already established quarterback in Steven Montez. There's young guys behind him that appear to be pretty talented. Approaching it from you being the guy that's coming in from the outside, how do you approach that?
Well, I think you have to start with getting to know people. I think that's the biggest thing is you have to develop relationships and you spend a lot of time together in the meeting room and talking about other things more than just football. And so we've got to get to know each other, and then we'll get started on the football end of it on the practice field, you know, sooner rather than later. It's coming fast with spring ball and those type things. But it's time. You know, you got to spend time together.
You know, you've been an offensive coordinator during the course of your career. This is kind of a unique situation. Many times a quarterback coach is the offensive coordinator or co-offensive coordinator. Sure. Out of these circumstances, how does that work then with Clayton Adams and Darren Cheverini being the co-coordinators?
Sure. In 2005, I went to Kentucky, and Joker Phillips was the offensive coordinator. He was the receiver coach, and I was the quarterback coach. And you know, on game day, the offense coordinator calls it, and my job is to support that and teach what he wants teach the quarterback what he wants him to do, and you go from there. But you work so close together. You spend so much time together all the time that you get on the same page with all the hours. And I'm looking forward to working with those guys.
Is there any truth, and Darren's been spreading this rumor, that the only reason you got hired is because you're bald? Is that true?
Might be true, but I'm a better-looking bald guy.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There is no question about that. Hey, tell us who comes with you. You're married. You've got kids.
I am. I've been married for 17 years now, 16 years now.
And, better get that right.
Yeah. Well, I got the date better than I got the years. I got hit in football a little bit, too. But I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and I have a 5-year-old son that are looking forward to getting out here. They haven't spent much time, obviously, out west, more out west, but they've already moved around. My daughter's in fourth grade, and she's been to 4 elementary schools.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah. That's part of being a coach's child, isn't it?
It is. She's tough. She's tougher than me.
Well, congratulations. Great to have you on the team.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So a new quarterback coach for CU football and a top 5 win for the Colorado men's basketball team. It certainly has been a good week to open up 2018 for the Buffaloes. I'm Voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.